It's the end of the week, so it's time again for the Sunday Papers Podcast with our two best friends,
Greg and Mike.
Make sure to give you the news
between procrastinating, masturbating,
or some other excuse.
Sunday Papers Podcast.
Read all about it! Read all about it! Sunday Papers, never a hitch. Never a hitch.
This is, for the folks at home, this is our second time starting today's podcast.
Third, actually.
It's 420. Yeah, that was right. Third. Sorry. Yeah. Two failed. This is our third.
It is 420. So this, we should mention right up front, Mike and I both agreed ahead of time in honor of 420, we each took 10 milligrams of edible marijuana.
Okay, I will tell you this. That's not true, but I will tell you this. The other night, I don't really like edibles, but I took some edibles and then also smoked.
Were you alone?
I was drinking, no. But my point is, the most terrifying thing to me is if, like, you ever hear those people talk about, like, I took 50 milligrams or whatever it is, right? I know Diaz takes north of 100 or something.
Well, but, so does Dennis Gubbins.
Well, no, he accidentally took like 100 once or something. But I think I'd be like, you have to rush me to the hospital where they have to make me unconscious.
Yeah.
Just put an IV in my arm and knock me out. Because it's not like I'm just having crazy thoughts. I was so like dizzy. It was like constant bed spins, even when sitting straight up. Like my stomach felt bad. Everything about it was horrible.
How much did you drink?
No, dude. I took a 5 milligram and I smoked a lot. I'm the biggest lightweight when it comes to that.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, I'm going to see AC/DC tonight at the Rose Bowl with the boys. We're all
so
going,
jealous. Yeah.
Dickie and Dennis and Fitzy. And, you know, I haven't smoked pot in probably a year. I was never a big pothead, but like I was like during the pandemic, I started taking it every night, just taking a small edible every night. And then I just felt foggy in the mornings. But the problem with me is I have an addictive personality. So if I smoke it just tonight, within 3 weeks, I will be taking edibles every night when I'm on the road. And I can't stop that. I have an addictive personality. I'm either on or off.
Even if you don't like it?
Well, I take so little that it just feels like a glass of wine. I don't feel super high.
Right. But, no, that's, I like that. Yeah.
But tonight, you know, maybe I take two hits tonight before AC/DC, which, by the way, I'm so sorry you're missing it. Wish you were there. We just got backstage passes for after the show.
Jesus Christ.
Our friend Chris Chaney, who we play golf with every Friday for years, he's the bass player for AC/DC. Used to be Jane's Addiction's bass player, and then he did Alanis Morissette over the years, and who else did he? He played for
tons of people. Oh, he plays with what's his name? Sorry, I am tired.
He did Taylor Swift at one point, and he also did.
Really?
Yeah, and he also did what's her name?
He tours with Eddie Vedder. When Eddie Vedder does his solo stuff, he's in Eddie Vedder's small group of musicians.
And it's
Eddie
so funny.
Really appreciates
could not
him.
Be a more mellow, unassuming dude. Like so nice and quiet.
Yep.
But a great storyteller. Like if you ask, he doesn't speak out of school. He just tells like really good stories from the road.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I really want him on the podcast, but I don't want to ask him to be on the podcast. I don't know.
No, just ask them for backstage tickets to the Rose Bowl. Something way less of a pain.
I've seen some videos online of Angus, and you know what? His playing is fucking, he does not look good, but then he plays the guitar and you're like, holy shit. It's like, I mean, I guess if you're that good, it's just in you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's an append. It's like another appendage. It's you know, the guy's lived with a guitar in his hands his whole life, and now he's what, in his 70s?
Easily.
So, I know.
Easily.
Well, I remember.
I might guess he's old. I'm gonna look it up right now.
You look it up while I went to say goodbye to AC/DC, but I brought my two young girls. I brought three kids. The third was Dennis Gubbins, and I brought them to Dodger Stadium, and they were young. So this is, I'm going to say, well, we could look it up, but maybe 8 years ago. Okay. And maybe less. Anyway, and I was walking away from Dodger Stadium, and Angus was in the middle of a crazy solo, but the girls wanted to go, but it was the encores. And I remember turning around and like saying goodbye to a guy I absolutely worshipped in seventh and eighth grade, you know? And that was goodbye. I'm like, look how old he is. And here they are again.
He's 70.
All right.
Which
is that it?
I know. It's way younger than I thought he was. He must have been a baby when he started with that group.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about while my brother was here, my wife and I went downtown and we saw Bernie Sanders speak. And it's so funny because I put up a clip of it on the intranet, and man, did it blow up in my face. So many people were like, he's in the fucking pocket of the pharmaceutical company. There was so many angles on why he wasn't legit. And he should be embarrassed. And it's like, all right, you guys, I get it. You're maybe from a different political philosophy. But to malign the character of Bernie Sanders, you might not agree with him, but like I never begrudged, you know, like John Ashcroft. Like I didn't agree with him, but I had total respect for him, and I saw that he stood behind what he said. And then you see people treat somebody like Bernie Sanders. He said the same thing for 50 years, and he stood behind it. And he's walked the walk. Oh, he's got three houses. Yeah, he's got a fucking barn in Vermont that's worth like $600,000.
Who do these people? Okay, so all right, let's take what you're saying. So Bernie has three houses. Who is it you want?
Right. Right.
And I don't know the answer. I'm asking, like, who is it you want? Because we're trying to get the best.
Yeah.
Not the perfect.
Yeah.
The best.
So he spoke, and it was very moving. It was very powerful. I have to say the crowd, as a Democrat, I'm a little concerned about when the Civil War breaks out. There was not a man I saw the entire day that I felt like I couldn't take out in one punch. We are such soft pussies. And then you picture the typical Trump guy, like pickup truck, mullet, muscles.
Yeah, you know? but we're socialists, man. We're gonna outnumber. we never fight alone.
We're fucking dead. And then, and I was actually thinking about this. Like, these are the guys that, like, all right, they're not afraid of a pill or a needle. You know, despite the fact they're anti-vax, they will put every steroid. They will ingest every, you know, protein powder. Mm-hmm. They'll work out nonstop. They'll get hair plugs. And these are the same people that can't tolerate trans people. Like, they can't understand somebody wanting to change their physical identity. Meanwhile, they were a skinny, bald guy 5 years ago.
A lot of them also can't hear you say anything negative about Trump.
Yeah.
Just can't tolerate it. They go ballistic. Shut up.
I thought of an internet movie. Like, we should make a movie and the script is all the characters are just internet tropes. Like, there's a stepmom and his son as a character, and you know, a guy that tells you how to be man. Like, it's just a very rough thought, but I think we should write that script.
Just tell it to ChatGPT, man.
Oh shit, that's good.
I mean, the reports coming back on that stuff are crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that and I should know his name, but the screenwriter for Contagion, which was a very popular movie that really people thought was pretty incredible in how it predicted how the pandemic went down. I'm forgetting. Do you remember the movie Contagion?
No.
Look it up while I'm talking to you and find out who the female star was of it. Anyway, you'll remember it. So he put the screenplay for Contagion in an AI program and asked it to write a sequel. And he goes, it was hard to tell which was more horrifying, how good it was at writing a sequel to my movie or where it went with what could possibly happen on the next pandemic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, this was incredibly scary. No, I don't read past headlines.
We want to also remind people, as you know, we say it's ad free. We don't read ads in the middle of the podcast. We have some that run before the podcast, and I think there's some that run after it. And we make a few pennies, but we do not do ads right now.
By the way, we don't make a few pennies. It barely goes to cover the cost of doing. We're just trying not to lose money in the long run.
We lose money per episode, right. So we're trying to buffer that by selling some merchandise. We're very excited about the Sunday Papers podcast 5th anniversary hats. They come in all colors. They're like $29. T-shirts, Sunday Papers podcast, take it easy. We got Sunday Papers 5th anniversary mugs. They're actually really nice. I've got four of them. There's four different types. Some are very artistic. We got tote bags. We got notebooks. Go to GregFitzsimmons.com or Fitzdog.com. Read all about it. T-shirts. Pick it up. They're $28. Support the show. Showcase the show. Then you see people that are also fans, and you guys look at each other, and then you look away. You're a little embarrassed. You walk in opposite directions.
Yeah.
All right.
Did I tell you about my flight back from Florida?
Do tell.
It's very short, but it was on my birthday, right? And the guy, I'm in like 22, you know, B or something, because I didn't pay JetBlue their extortion money so I can choose my seat. So of course they plot me in a middle seat. I'm exhausted and I know I'm going to sleep far to LA. So I go, my dad of course drops me off at the airport early. I had no say in it. So anyway, when I'm there early, I go up to the guy. I'm the first guy there at the gate. And I go, hey, listen, I go, is there any way, I do see there's room and there's seats available, and there were a lot. And I said, is there a way I could just be moved to any aisle or window? Doesn't matter to me which, because I'm probably going to sleep. And
I'm 6'2".
And right. And I'm 6'1", really. And I go, and it's my birthday, if that's worth anything. And The guy kind of looks down, but doesn't comment. And then so I add, I know it's not worth anything. But so I'm being nice. I'm being self-effacive. And I ask so nicely and all that. He types for like ever. I don't know what was going on. Finally, at one point, I'm like, does he even work here? And then he goes, all right, I took care of you. And he hands it back to me. And I was in 32C. Like he moved me 10 rows back. But it was an aisle seat. So anyway, I'm in the way back of the plane, aisle seat. Dude, we hit turbulence so hard. And I thought the back of the plane was supposed to be more stable. It was like we were fishtailing up in the sky. It was crazy.
Really? And
yeah. Just going through these winds. And it was on the ascent. So we're on the ascent. Anyway, eventually it calms down. Drink service comes out, or cart service. They come by and they're like, what would you like? I'm like, you know, like I'll have a Jack and Coke or whatever I got. And so I kind of get it. And then she goes, oh, are you Michael Gibbons? Cause they know if you sit in the right seat, I wasn't special or anything. And they're like, oh, it's your birthday, so this one's on us.
No way.
Yeah. But the girl, there was a girl on the window seat. And she already had her drink, and she takes a drink and she looks at me and she's like, that was almost your last one. meaning birthday.
That's good. That's good. I like it. This paying for seats bullshit. I'm flying to Cincinnati. I'm doing a club in actually Dayton, Kentucky, but it's Cincinnati. So anyway, I got to fly into Cincinnati. It's connecting flights. And so I look at Indianapolis because that's an hour and a half away. I was like, I'd rather fly there and rent a car and not take a second fucking leg of a trip. No can do. There's no direct flights there either. So I buy my connecting flight, which is going to take me 7.5 hours each direction, assuming I don't get one of the flights isn't delayed. And it's like $650 round trip. This is a month out. And then I get to the seat selection, and it's like you said, it's all middle seats unless you want to pay, ready for this, an extra like $40 to $60 per leg, not LA
right.
to Cincinnati. So it's like another $200 on top of that to not have a middle seat on United. United is the worst with these extra fees. They were the first ones to charge you for an extra bag in the overhead. They were the first ones to charge for drinks. They were the first ones to charge for seat assignments. They suck.
At least Spirit's upfront about it all.
I know. And they give you a lower fare. At least with a way lower fare.
Yeah. I've easily paid more for a carry-on bag than the cost of the flight with Spirit.
Right. So fuck you, United, is my statement for today. And thank you to Bob, who is one of our most prolific. As you know, Sunday Papers has a different poster every single week. We have a different song every week, and Bob is very generous with his time. This is one with us standing with Fauci, and we have the measles.
Fauci. We wish it were Fauci.
Oh no, not Fauci. What am I saying? With RF Kennedy Jr. And we have measles all over our face.
And he doesn't have measles. We do?
Let me see.
I don't like it at all.
He does not have measles and we do.
No, he looks healthy.
Yeah, he does. Well, it's probably because he has autism. The song this week, also from a frequent contributor, Emmett Hall, is amazing. Great song. Thank you, Emmett. By the way, if you ever enjoy the snippet of the song, we always play it in full at the end of the episode if you want to just, you know, kick off your shoes and fucking dance.
There you go.
Corrections. Barclay Loss says Tiger Woods was 13 years old in 1989. I think I said that was the year he won his first Masters.
Oh, all right. Well, he was a prodigy.
And then Flesh Try says BlackRock, a $150 billion corporation, makes way more on war than Blackwater, which makes $10 billion. BlackRock makes way more. You were actually correct this time?
Why is it writing a correction? God.
All right.
It deserved a correction because you were correct. So it's like the podcast was wrong because you were right.
Got it. It's a double negative.
Yeah.
Then this guy, Ryan Starr, said, thanks for featuring my art on last week's episode. If I could give you my first correction, you got my name wrong. If you could credit me on the next episode as Ryan Starr.
Oh.
And point people to my website, ryanstardesign.com. Now you're pushing it, Ryan. Honored to be part of the rich history of corrections.
I don't think it was a double negative. That's already a correction. All right.
JJ says, you talked about going to the Sox home opener. You said they had the 75 Red Sox who won the World Series. Even as I read that, I go, oh, yeah. The Red Sox famously didn't win the World Series for 86 years until 2004. 75 was important because Yaz, Carl Yastrzemski, extended the series to 7 games when he famously waived his hit fair for a home run to win Game 6.
Right.
Then they lost in Game 7. Then they lost to the Mets in Game 7 in 1986. Then in Game 7 to the Yankees in 2003. Oh, the heartbreak.
Yeah, you're talking 75, 76. That's Cincinnati.
Yankees years.
Cincinnati years.
Pete Rose.
The big red machine, man.
Yeah, but the Yankees were like 77, 78, 79, right?
Yeah, Bucky Dent, right, was probably 78, I think.
Bucky Dent and Catfish Hunter.
When was Bucky Dent's big home run? Anyway, go ahead.
All right, tour dates coming up. Huntington, the Mamba on May 4th. It might have a different name. I can't remember, but I will be in Huntington May 4th. Escondido at the Grand Comedy Club May 9th and 10th. New location. As I said, I'll be in Cincinnati at the Commonwealth May 16th and 17th. Tampa at Sidesplitters June 5th through the 7th. Followed by a one-nighter in Naples, Florida, Off the Hook June 8th. Then we got Torrance, Austin, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, La Jolla, Vegas, just announced, back at Brad Garrett's club.
Oh, it's awesome.
Chicago at the Den Theater, November 8th, and New Orleans at Skankfest in the fall. So go to fitzdog.com, get some tickets, come out and see some live comedy. Front page, what do we got to crankle Mike Gibbons?
Oh, man.
Hold on. Right, see here. What I
got a little piece of paper from the Central Station Hotel right here in Nashville. Nope. In Memphis.
Here we go. An ex-FDNY firefighter turned OnlyFans model was thrown behind bars Thursday for drunkenly mowing down a young airport worker in Queens.
Jesus.
His family yelled, "Put the cuffs on him," from the Supreme Court as bail was revoked in a wreck that killed Justin Diaz, 23 years old.
You made it sound like his own family was screaming, "Put the cuffs on him." That would be very objective of them.
Well, 50 people from Diaz's family were there, and this OnlyFans model was slapped with a 14-count indictment, including manslaughter charges.
Mm.
The beefy 28-year-old disgraced probationary smoke eater. Oh, this is from the Post. I like to say things like smoke eater instead of firefighter.
Yeah.
Was speeding 83 miles per hour in a 25-mile-per-hour zone in his silver Mercedes S63 coupe. How the fuck is a firefighter? Oh, he's got the OnlyFans money.
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is the least sympathetic firefighter ever.
He blew through a red light and struck Diaz's BMW. I think firemen should be able to turn on their sirens when they're driving drunk. Can we make that a policy?
Well, that should drunk driving be a lesser charge if you put a siren up announcing it to everybody, maybe?
Yes, exactly. I think
you know to stay away.
Yeah, the lights, the siren, and you know, normally firemen are pulling cats out of the trees, not pedestrians. So to me, this feels like, thing about firemen is like the OnlyFans, I get it. Like, we have a friend, I won't mention his name, Tom, who lived on my corner, and we have a firehouse, Station House 63, shout out, great guys, big part of the neighborhood. And Tom would sit on his porch because every day they would jog shirtless in the summer past his apartment. He'd sit on the front porch and just
masturbating.
But I get it. And women love firemen because you're hedging your bet. If it's not going well, you don't have to divorce them. There's a chance they're not coming home from work every day.
Can I make a suggestion which will make them all so rich? Forget OnlyFans. Just create a new website called Only Firemen.
Ooh.
Right?
That's actually
like their calendars.
Really,
it's an update to the firemen calendars.
That's really good. Well, there was a Ladder 63 got in trouble because they were filming. There was a bunch of porn stars filming down at Venice Beach one day, down by the in the parking lot by the paddle tennis courts, and the porn stars like got on the fire truck, and some of the firemen were posing with them, and it got out, and it really blew up. It was bad.
It was a JC, I think, Tom's friend. I think maybe her brother is a fireman or brother-in-law or something. Anyway, we were talking about it, and I at some point said something like, assuming that firemen and police get along. She's like, not really. She's like, police are very jealous of firemen because everybody likes firemen. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
And far from everybody loves the police. I'm like, oh man, I didn't think about that. Like, firemen don't pull up to your house and get out all the hoses and be like, oh, whoa, whoa, wait. Black people live here. Never mind. Pack it up. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're not going to help them. Police are worse. They actually seek them out to abuse them often.
Well, I saw it firsthand because I played in, when I lived in New York, I played in a hockey league down at Chelsea Piers, and it was the Police and Firemen's League. And these dudes went at it. There was fist fights in every fucking game. And I was on a fireman's company. I didn't fight. Fuck them. I'm going to fight a cop for you guys to get some ice time. And then the team that was really the biggest douchebags was the FBI had a team. And their jersey
really?
Said FBI on them. Yeah.
Wow.
And like when a puck went into the corner, you just fucking peeled off. You let them go get the puck. You were not heading into that corner with that FBI guy. And then this was back in like 99, 2000. So like a lot of those guys on that team lost their lives on 9/11.
Oh,
so
man.
It was kind of a bummer. I played with, Ian Bagg.
Yeah, right.
I was on the team with Ian Bagg and Tim Robbins.
I knew about Tim, yeah.
Yeah. Won the league.
That's very cool.
All right. When Katy Perry is hurt.
I love this story.
She's hurt by Wendy's inappropriate jibe about her trip to space with Lauren Sanchez and Gail King. The fast food giant snarked, "Can we send her back?" in response to a post on X that read, "Katy Perry has returned from space." Following the singer's 11-minute mission with Blue Origin on Monday.
This
Perry,
stunt.
40. Let me just say something about Katy Perry. In her prime, I don't know about her music. I don't think I've ever heard it. She was so goddamn hot. It was unbelievable. And she's kind of gone nuts. She went up on the rocket owned by Jeff Bezos' company, along with Bezos' fiance Sanchez, Gail King, and a NASA engineer, and some film producer, Carrie Ann Flynn. It took them just past the Kármán line, 62 miles above Earth. Dude, that's less than driving to Vegas from here, which is considered the threshold of space, where they experienced a few minutes of zero gravity.
Less than Vegas? Are you kidding me? You're not even halfway to Vegas.
Pasadena.
Yeah, 50 miles.
Perry clutched a daisy in honor of her 4-year-old daughter, Daisy Dove Bloom. Why not hold a dove? Bring a fucking dove into space. And then she sang Louis Armstrong's "What a Wonderful World" while floating. And then she kissed the ground after the Blue Origin rocket landed after the 11-minute journey. Quote, "I feel super connected to love. This experience has shown me you never know how much love is inside you, like how much love you have to give and how loved you are." She realized all this in 11 minutes?
Yeah, she's a fast learner.
The Doors have songs longer than that.
Yeah.
But she was slammed online, including by other celebrities, for also revealing a butterfly-shaped note promoting her upcoming tour dates. Emily Ratajkowski called the mission beyond parody. That's coming from Emily Ratajkowski.
I know. I'm shocked she wasn't in. She's just jealous she wasn't in it.
Olivia Munn deemed it gluttonous. Olivia Wilde said $1 billion bought a few good memes, I guess. So the Olivias are coming out. Did Olivia Gibbons say anything?
I don't know. I have to watch what I say around them with these female accomplishments. But, I mean, accomplishment is italicized and in quotes, if you ask me.
Wait, now, which Olivia are you friends with?
Munn. Well, I mean, I don't think she'd know me now, but we did a little pilot together way back.
You brought her on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
I brought her
on
the podcast.
Podcast.
So, all right, the thing that got my attention, because this was fully ignored almost by everybody and deservedly so, but then Gayle King, the problem was, just like Katy Perry, they got offended that there wasn't more coverage. And then Gayle King goes, you know, also, people are calling this a trip. And it's like, when male astronauts go up, nobody calls it a trip. I'm like, oh, strike two. I'm like, you're going to compare yourself to an astronaut. You guys, and then all, I'm offended that they even call themselves crew. You were like passengers. You know where I want you to go next as a passenger? I want you to check out the Titanic. Yes, I want you to go in a submarine like other dumb billionaires and go check that out.
Yeah.
You date a billionaire. You're a friend of a billionaire, Gayle King. Lauren Sanchez is sleeping with a billionaire. And then Katy Perry doesn't even believe in the Big Bang Theory, doesn't even believe how space got here, doesn't believe in so much of the science of space travel. So why is she in this thing?
I think you're onto something. I think we should have reality shows where we take celebrities that we want to see die and we put them into space capsules. But really launch it. Send it up for like a month and see. Yeah. And right before they close the doors, Kanye gets on.
I think my JetBlue flight from Florida to LA was rougher than this Blue Origin 11-minute ride.
Yep. Did you kiss the ground when you got to LAX?
Did you? Jeff Bezos tried to, in a stunt, try to open my door when I landed in LA. Did you see the land? Did you see the opening?
They couldn't find the door, right?
No, the door was all, because of course they had already been checked on us. So then they close it back to one. This is such a scam anyway. Everybody pretend that no one has checked on you and Bezos is going to walk over and open the door, but they couldn't get the door closed appropriately. It was ridiculous.
And then he tripped and fell down. He fell on his face.
Did he really?
Oh my God, he looked ridiculous. There was like a little recess in the ground that he fell down in his fucking $300 New Balance. Ugh.
It's just such a joke.
Yeah. Speaking of
and also Gayle King then goes, and then someone brought up, but like, you know, the privilege and how expensive. Gayle King, fucking complete moron, goes, well, you know, yeah, there's a lot of criticism of that, but you know, when you, you know, get some friends, you know, when you go with other people, you know, it comes down and is actually like quite reasonable. The best estimate, the best estimate is that it's $500,000.
Per person.
Yes, per person. And she's just an idiot. And this is like, you're really accelerating how badly people want to take out the rich. You really are. Yes. Like, just don't rub it in people's faces.
I know. They made it sound like the only way that you could feel this sense of love was to launch yourself into space. You know, like she said, this experience showed me, you never know how much love is inside of you. What? Until you spend $500,000 flying up for 11 minutes?
It's absurd.
No, you don't know how much you love until you're stuck in a trailer with your husband who lost his factory job and he got 300. That's when you know love, bitch.
Also, the best part. I can't even believe I've delayed it this long. Their whole thing was the only women crew. I don't even want to use the word crew. The only women crew to go. Meanwhile, a Russian woman solo in 1963 has already been to space. So just shut. And that was in 63.
Yeah.
When she was probably in the equivalent of a coffee can. So just shut up.
Right, Mike. Good point. Way to stand your ground. I like it. 60 Minutes. President Trump told FCC Chair Brendan Carr that he should pull the broadcasting license and severely punish CBS for its reporting. Note the word reporting. Note CBS, like the Tiffany Network, the news network that has corroborated news, that does stories for 3 months, that they, there is no, everything about it is factual. So in February, he signed an executive order granting him full authority over independent agencies, including the FCC and the Federal Reserve, previously overseen by Congress, including firing their respective heads. Trump's demanding federal workers yank the broadcasting license for Paramount Network CBS and levy the harshest possible fine for what he called illegal reporting on his 60 Minutes. He took issue that it aired two segments on Sunday regarding the war in Ukraine and Trump's plan to annex Denmark's autonomous territory of Greenland. I saw this, by the way. He argued that they depicted the country and, by extent, his administration falsely, inaccurately, and fraudulently, though he did not explain what he meant nor deny any specific part of the reporting. Also, NPR, PBS being defunded. I mean, where's First Amendment? When are people... I get it. Again, I want to go through this again. You may not agree with our politics because we're probably left of a lot of our listeners, but... is it left and right to consider the Constitution something that should be adhered to, that that congressional approval should be observed, that branches of power in the country need to be separate?
Listen, when I first saw the story, I was supportive, and I agreed with Trump. I thought he wanted to cancel CBS because of Blue Bloods. And I'm like, finally, someone's doing something about this atrocity.
Right.
Why is it so popular?
Right, right.
Or Matlock.
Big Please. Brother. Big Brother's on its 28th season.
Yeah.
That fucking, who's the host of that? He is so well
played. I thought
right
Trump
now.
Canceled at midnight. I'm like, well played. It deserved to be put out of its misery.
I don't want to say that because then I won't get booked.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know it's gone, right?
Oh, good. It was that was embarrassing. Every comic
God.
I saw on that looked so awkward and forced. That set was so cold and vacuous. And I think she's great. I think she's a really funny comedian. And I think she did her best.
I don't
best.
Think she's a host, though.
I think she did her best, but I don't think she's a host. No.
Nope. I think everyone felt there was a bit of feeling embarrassed, so that hurts everything.
Yes. All right, let's get to our new segment. It's called The Ethicist. Oh, no, that's what the New York Times called it.
I think that's what they call it.
What do we call ours?
The Ethical Question.
The Ethical Question. Dun, dun. Do we get a crinkle on this? What are we doing?
Yeah, you're the crinkle guy. Here it is. I'm just going to read you the headline, which I don't agree with.
Wait, let me first read you a piece of mail we got from last week.
Okay.
Greg and Mike, also fuck Mike. I live in Philly. Ooh. It says actually I'm live in Philly.
But also you hear the anger already from the animal.
The cocaine story, I had that happen in a smaller volume, but I would probably do the same thing with the large amounts. Last week's story, we talked about finding a bale of cocaine. What would we do? I said I would keep some and sell some. What did you say?
I admitted. I go, I'd probably take it home and think about it.
No. We were at college in Philly, and walking into my apartment, my friend picks up a bag, and it's filled with tiny bags of coke. So we keep it. Because we were stoners and were paranoid about it, like it was a setup from a cop, a dealer had to dump it and was coming back and would kill us. The paranoia was with us for hours. As we may have smelled cocaine in our past a few times, we were concerned what it was. So we take it to our cokehead friend, and he confirms it's coke, and he didn't die, so we were good. We traded him for weed and kept some samples. Oh, to be young again. Love the show, and fuck Mike. Liz.
This is a woman animal. Wow. I totally imagined when I imagine this person climbing a greased pole in their hometown, I imagine it being male.
Ugh, how you hate the city. I love Philly. Can I just say that?
Beautiful city, physically beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's your question?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, here's the question, which I don't agree with, but here it is. Our gardener wants to avoid taxes. Should we pay him in cash? Now, this person writing, the name withheld, it's a woman. Here it is. Throughout our 55 years of marriage, my husband and I have never once cheated on our taxes. Now the man who mows and trims our lawn has asked us to pay him in cash instead of by check. We have little doubt as to why he has made this request. My husband feels very uncomfortable with this, but I disagree. This man is a landscape service of one and most likely only makes a modest income. It makes me angry to see the number of obscenely rich Americans continue to rise while most people like him work hard and long and likely have to pay for their own health insurance. He does not have health insurance. If he wants to nick a bit off the IRS's take, it may be illegal, but I don't consider it immoral. What is the right thing to do in this situation? So they made a leap to say that he's not going to report it, but let's just go with that leap.
That's true. I think you split the difference and you go, all right, normally we pay you, say, $500 a month. We're going to pay you in cash, but we don't get to write it off. See, like, if you own your house, say you own your house, you get to deduct a certain amount on maintenance of your house. So now you're losing the deduction because now you can't claim it on your taxes. So I would say instead of $500, which you would have paid 25% on, meaning you would have lost $125, I will pay you $60 less than $500. I'll pay you $540. That way you're saving on taxes and we're not losing the amount we would have paid on taxes. Case closed. Next question.
If that guy is not peeing on your lawn, I don't know what's right in this world anymore.
Good for the grass. Good for the grass.
Not, it's not. Yeah, you can write off cash, by the way.
Yeah, but then it doesn't have to be a paper trail so they can check on his end that he received the money and deposited and paid taxes.
No, I guess then you're passing the buck to him if you're reporting that. Like, here's the cash. You can see where I withdraw it from the bank every month, and I pay cash. Whatever. Just pay him cash, will you?
All right, right? So I got to go to my ATM and pay a $3.50 fee to take the money out.
Yeah.
I got to be concerned about getting robbed at the ATM because I live in Venice.
What about Venmo, man?
You think, this is what's insane about you. You somehow think that it's like somebody who puts their hands over their ears when they don't want to hear something. Venmo is connected to your bank. It is the federal government.
We've had people write us under $10,000. They are under whatever it is, seven or eight. They're not getting involved.
People, what are you, Trump? A lot of people are saying under $10,000.
Listen, people. Okay. I'm telling you, we're okay. All good. Pay your gardener with Venmo if you want.
I think you can tell from the tone of this that Mike has been collecting the money for the koozies.
I pay my cleaning woman in cash.
You do?
Yeah. Now, sometimes I pay her in check, which she's happy with, but I wonder if that messes her up. I don't think it does.
I just allow her to steal a little bit every week.
That's the sweet spot. All right, entertainment.
Here's my ethical question for you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So I take certain pharmaceuticals for my mental health, and I've been on them since I was 40
Good
years
for
old.
For you, because you wouldn't know it at all.
So for 19 years, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're being facetious.
Of course, yeah. It's like you still seem riddled with mental illness.
So for 19 years, I've been on these same fucking pills, a number of them. I'm on a cocktail of antidepressants. And it changed my life. It really did. In a lot of ways, it was great. Have I lost my edge a little bit? Yes. Am I less funny? obviously I'm doing a podcast every week, but I have to get on the phone with this motherfucker, with the psychiatrist, every 3 months. It costs $185.
Incredible.
And basically he says, how are you feeling? I say the same. Are you suicidal? No, I'm not. Okay. And then he has to fill the half hour. It used to be a half hour. I finally talked him down to 15 minutes. Half hour was like 225. And so he fills 15 minutes. He tells me, you know, if you exercise a lot, then, you know, you can probably cut down. Yeah, you tell me that every 3 months for 19 years. And he tells me the same anecdotes. And then he tells me I should take psilocybin. And then he says to me this week, he makes a joke about how he's... All right, I'm very excited to tell you about a new sponsor to the show that are... do you want to support American farms these days? How about Mood? Mood is it's the only online cannabis company that I would endorse. They're revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. Sleepless nights, you got some stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They deliver them right to your door, unmarked bag right away. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code FITZ, FITZ. Do it. It's a new sponsor. I'm very excited about them. I've tried the gummies. I'm here to tell you. There are different strains that do different things. The sleepy time gummy, I'm telling you, 15 minutes, I was done. I was out. Woke up in the morning, no hangover, didn't feel groggy, had energy. They've got the Epic Euphoria gummies that are perfect for when you want to go and have a little fun. When maybe you need to hit the reset button on life a little bit. You want to turn it around. What makes these gummies different is they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary anywhere like these. They have gummies for literally everything: immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity. How about some sexual arousal? Hey now. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code FITZ. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember, use promo code FITZ so we get the count. At the checkout, save 20% off your first order. He's got a homicidal patient who threatened the president's life, and that he had to notify the federal government. And now every time the president comes to LA, the Secret Service visits him and his patient to make sure he's not going to do anything.
Oh my God.
So he said to me, but you know, I hate Trump so much, I'm thinking about not giving him his shot 1 month.
That's worth the call. Well, that's what you should have paid double that month.
That's the ethical question I have for you, Mike Gibbons. If you're a shrink and you want a leader of a country assassinated,
right,
is it okay to not give them their shot that month?
Ah, geez. Are they paying cash or is this? So I had the same thing back when I took Adderall. It was the same thing, man. You had to have a prescribing MD and you had to check in with a phone call, which was a session. And it was so much money. Get this. We're not going to name any names. My general practitioner, whose name you know, at the WGA place, I complained to him once. He's like, I'll just write it for you. I'll just refill them. I have never seen a therapist again regarding that prescription.
And how often do you get the prescription?
I can get it as much as I want, but I only do it like once a year, just so I have some that I take like when needed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, cause, and they're 5 milligram pills or whatever. They're like a strong cup of coffee, like a pretty strong cup, but not much more.
Can I tell you something else about this guy?
Oh boy.
He's such a weirdo. He goes, this is years ago. And he says to me, God, I just have to tell you this, and I shouldn't tell you this, but I have another patient, and he's been telling me that he's got anxiety and depression, and it's based on listening to the Howard Stern show. I said, well, what did he hear on the Howard Stern show? He said, he heard the story about the foreword being written for your book and how Howard was making you jump through hoops and torturing you. And he goes, and it's making him so upset he's depressed. He goes, he doesn't know you're my patient, but he's been telling me this.
Is this where you have a split personality and this is also you that he's talking to?
I mean, how crazy that a shrink would divulge that to another patient.
That's crazy time.
And then he laughed about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't run into that guy in the waiting room.
All right. Let's get to some entertainment.
All right. Speaking of entertainment, by the way, I watched the John Hamm Saturday Night Live. There was some solid comedy in that show. And
John
they
Hamm
were...
he's one of the best to do it.
And
absolutely.
They were short and disciplined. There's one where he's on a talk show and he's very... on a game show. And he's very afraid of divulging information that would get him in trouble because he was a dentist and he had a happy life. And then what was the other one? Anyway, I forget what it was, but there were at least, and then there was a very funny commercial parody at the end. Stay till the end. A commercial parody about herpes medications. That was really funny. But yeah. Oh, there's a film. The other one I was trying to remember. One of the SNL shorts where he plays a police officer. That is very funny as well.
No, he is rock solid. And it's kind of weird that I don't think I've seen him do much comedy, right? He did Fargo. He was great in that. He did Mad Men. Oh, he was in not Bridesmaids.
Yeah, he was in Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids. Yeah, yeah. That was actually very funny.
Yeah.
But he should be doing like a sitcom or something. Are sitcoms funny?
No, I was just going to say that's drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's done more comedy than that. But anyway, he's very good. And but more than him, the sketches were just very disciplined and great.
Did I ever tell
you
my
short film
and
the sketch? Huh?
I ever tell you my John Hamm story?
I don't think.
Okay. So I'm in San Francisco and I go out to do a show and my wife hangs back at the hotel because she's not interested in seeing my stand-up comedy.
You come home, John Hamm's there.
I come home, and Mad Men is on. She'd never seen it before. It was new. It was like one of the first episodes. And she's sitting on the edge of the bed, and she's half undressed. Like, she had been getting undressed, and then it came on, and she sat on the edge of the bed, because visually, it's unlike any show you've ever seen before. And the banter, everything about it is so fresh that she just sat down and was mesmerized and instantly falls in love with John Hamm, does not miss an episode, talks about him all the time. Cut to, I'm at a party at Sarah Silverman's house. And she has this annual party and it's on a rooftop and every famous person in Hollywood goes. And so I'm there, I don't know why. And I'm talking to my wife and her friend and all of a sudden, John Hamm walks in the room and everybody kind of stops talking. The show is giant. It's just exploded. And he walks in and my wife's jaw drops and he walks through the room, walks up to me, gives me a giant hug and goes, Greg, how the fuck are you? And as I'm hugging him, I'm making eye contact with my wife and going like, what the fuck is going on here? I've never met this guy.
Aaron, so, what are you doing taking off your pants and sitting on the edge of that chair? again.
So he pulls back and he sees me looking at him and he goes, "You don't remember me." And I said, I honestly didn't think we'd met. And he goes, "We used to hang out at the Improv all the time when I was a struggling with." I don't know if he worked at the Improv or he used to just hang out there. But
no, he used to hang out. I've read the stories. And at Largo, too.
But apparently, like, we used to hang out all the time. But I didn't make the association that that John was this John.
Right.
And so I introduced him to my wife and he gave her a hug. And then I gave it to her that night so hard.
Oh, what an empty experience for her.
Yeah.
Poor Aaron. I mean, you need a lot of imagination, even if you just saw him.
And then we became friends again. And now I text him. He's been on the podcast a few times.
He was on when I was with you once, way back. We talked about his St. Louis roots and everything.
Right, when he grew up as an orphan.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't
know
that
part. Adopted. I don't know if he was ever an orphan, but he was adopted. I guess if you were an orphan, if you were adopted, you must have been an orphan at one point, right?
I get the mom probably gave him up when that big head tried to get out of her vagina.
All right.
Something must be wrong with him.
John Mulaney is shading Ellen DeGeneres. Quote, this is on his, all right, quote, "You know what having a three-year-old is like?" Mulaney, 42, asked viewers during Wednesday's episode of, quote, "Everybody's Live with John Mulaney" on Netflix. "Having a three-year-old is what I imagine working on Ellen's show was like." Quote, "Because people come over and they're like, how is it? And you're like, oh, it's fine. You know, we have fun. There's games. We have dancing, you know. So if she starts dancing, you dance. But if she stops dancing, it changes to a more serious tone before saying, you fucking stop dancing right away." So
yeah, he's pretty accurate.
Yep. And you know what's funny is I hung out with him 2 weeks ago. We did Largo together. And he, every time he sees me, he asks me about what it was like writing for Ellen. He's obsessed with that I wrote for Ellen and what it was like. He's like, "I don't know anybody else that ever wrote for that show. What was it really as bad?" And so I was just telling him all about it. And then like a week later, he records this joke on his show.
Yeah, I think there are more similarities. Like you want to, just like with Ellen, you want to put him in a car and drive him into a lake. You just have that instinct. You also think, I should, just like working at Ellen, I should have pulled out.
Yeah.
Why didn't I pull out?
Yeah.
It's also like Ellen and children. It's very much frowned upon if you punch them right in the face, which you want to do all day long.
Yeah.
And when they get upset, both of them, they take their toys and they leave.
Yeah.
That's what they do because it's very immature.
Oh, yeah. No, she would just walk out sometimes. Both are given trophies they didn't earn because more mature people did all the work.
Yes.
And at least with a three-year-old, over time they grow out of it and are not actually less logical. And also sometimes they say something really funny and a lot of housewives laugh and take pictures.
Yeah, it's cute. And especially if you like don't know funny things, it can be very surprising.
So maybe I'll send all these jokes to John, and he can use them in his stand-up comedy act now.
You know, when I helped Will Ferrell does a charity thing anyway. I volunteered. It was at the Greek Theater, and John Mulaney was one of the stand-ups. And I went up to him because I was helping the directing the in-house cameras and video. And I said, "Is there anything we should know? Like, do you want a close up at any point or a wide when you act something out?" And he's like, "Don't I know you?" And I go, "No, you know, I believe it or not, I don't think we've ever met. We met once at UCB, but I mean, it was like in the green room." Saying, no, I know you. But it's probably because he checks you out and he sees my dumb mug sitting here sometimes.
He used to open for me on the road sometimes, which is always great. If I could list the people that opened for me, that
Fallon.
Flown past me over the years. Jesus Christ. Okay, hip-hop superstar Drake is now complaining about rival rapper Kendrick Lamar's performance of Not Like Us at the Super Bowl in his defamation lawsuit. and it's allegations of pedophilia against Drake. Quote, the recording was performed during the Super Bowl and the largest audience halftime show ever with 133 million people, including millions of children and millions more who had never heard the song or any of the songs that preceded it, says the amended lawsuit. It was the first and hopefully be the last Super Bowl halftime show orchestrated to assassinate the character of another artist. And it went on to say, then we can safely get back to monsters bashing each other in the head until they have concussions and the U.S. military basically doing recruitment videos to get your children to sign up to fight in a war.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more, I don't think it's aging well for Kendrick. Kendrick's amazing. Please don't get me wrong. But it's kind of like seeing an impressive guy, right? But he won't stop talking about his ex-girlfriend or his like current girlfriend. It's like, dude, my respect is starting to go down a little bit. Like, how much is this person under your skin and why have you allowed it to get so under your skin?
A little bit like Chappelle with trans?
No, because those were super funny and those were like, everyone was coming after him to cancel him and to shut him down.
We're super funny. I don't know if you've seen his last couple specials, but now it's just, he just drags it out because it gets a reaction from the crowd. I don't think there's the only energy he gets out of doing these trans bits now is the recognition that he's doing trans bits.
I don't know. The last time I saw him do a trans thing was a while ago, but it was at the Hollywood Bowl. Actually, he was charged on stage that night. But when he was there, he goes, I know I made a big promise that I'm not going to talk about trans issues anymore. And he goes, on tape. And he goes, but since we're not recording and I took all your phones away, and he talked about the new swimmer, the trans swimmer, who at that time had like really won a race, like shattered some record or something. And he goes, how's swimming going, ladies? He's like, newsflash, silver is the new gold. And I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some more left in that.
All right, let's make America Florida. Florida man has a rough night. The Flagler County Sheriff's Office said that on Sunday night, deputies responded to the Q-Note Billiards Club after someone called 911 to report a man kicking doors and throwing items on the patio. Upon arrival, deputies found Corey Ferran, 23, attempting to flee the scene on a bicycle and detained him in the parking lot. He was quickly recognized by deputies who had earlier ejected him from Scruffy's, another local bar, for similar behavior. This guy gets around.
Getting thrown out of Scruffy's is like getting thrown out of, I don't know, name an example of something that you would not normally be thrown out of.
Yeah, I mean, Hanano, right?
Right.
As deputies searched Ferran, they reported finding multiple pills of Xanax. This doesn't sound like a Xanax guy getting around this much and then hopping on a bike.
Normally you take Xanax, you just fail at masturbating and then take a nap.
He was arrested for disorderly intoxication and drug possession and taken to the detention facility. And the next morning, deputies were called.
Wait, you forgot to say what the bail was.
Oh, $1,250.
that's such a Florida bail where they set the bar so fucking low because they just know you don't have it.
How's he going to make it if he can't sell his Xanax? You ruined it. The next morning, deputies were called to investigate a burglary at the Honey Baked Ham Company, where landscapers had noticed a broken window. The surveillance footage from the scene allegedly showed Ferran in the burglary, which occurred the previous night. He went in and he stole $400 from the register and tip jar. The report states the detectives traced his movements post-burglary, confirming he visited both Scruffy's and Q-Note Billiards while wearing the same clothes as the Honey Baked Ham Company. So he gets around even more, this guy on Xanax.
Yeah, although I have to guess a lot of the guys that went to Scruffy's and Q-Billiards the same night were also wearing the same clothes. Leonard Skinner t-shirt. cut off jeans.
I think they should have made the new bail. You know, we're changing the bail. $405. It's just out of your reach. We know what you stole from the tip jar.
Right. And no, you can't use the drugs as bail money.
All right. Texas, America makes, making America Texas again. Here we go. Texas man accused of, this is a heavy one, I'll admit. He's accused of disemboweling his father, saying that aliens harvested his organs, you know. So this guy, he was located in his father's Jeep, were located near a state park. He had a swollen hand and a deep cut on his right pinky finger, which he said was a result of, one word, battling. He told officers that his dad was in heaven when he was asked about the victim and that aliens had harvested his father's organs a few days ago. Another relative later told the detectives that she had last spoken to the victim, the dad, a few days earlier when he told Contreras that he was acting crazy again, the son was, and he was threatening him, and also that he killed his pets.
Oh, yeah. That
prompting him
again
to call police. He later called to say the situation had been resolved. I bet that was the son calling saying that. In 2023, officers were dispatched to the same home where they were told that Contreras believed his father was an alien. He was spotted walking around the neighborhood. Also, the son was spotted walking around the neighborhood holding a decapitated rabbit. Listen, I'm not an expert. I'm just going to say, I think there were a few signs.
Well, he's clearly not having a lot of luck with those rabbit ears.
Isn't it a rabbit's foot that you have to rub?
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Do you think rabbits have good luck? Well, like while they have their feet, or do you think they have to be chopped off for them to turn into good luck providing objects?
They have to be chopped off. You can't rub a foot as you're holding a decapitated one and think any good is going to come of that.
No. I mean, this is one of those stories where you go like, all right, this, take the story at face value if you like, or let's go on Sam Tripoli's podcast and discuss that maybe aliens did harvest the organs and cut the son's thumb and are now hovering above the earth laughing their asses off.
With a rabbit's head also.
Right.
Rubbing its ears, which is what they're under the wrong, but they're under the misconception that you are.
Right. All right, let's do some sports.
You got it.
Well, not a good week for Denny McCarthy at the Masters, where I shouldn't say not a good week. Denny won, like I looked up his earnings because the Masters is a big purse. He came in like 30th place, but he won like $150,000. So if that's a little bit of a consolation prize. But we all put money on him to win the Masters at 200-1. And he did not, and I felt a little bit like maybe I should take all of us out to dinner to apologize. But, you know, Denny's going to win it. He's going to win something soon.
I mean, it was $10 to win $2,000.
Yeah, I guess I'm not taking you guys out for shit. I would say put more money on the U.S. Open. I already got $150 on the U.S. Open, so
if I win
that, I'll
take
you guys out. It's Father's Day weekend, always.
I don't know this stuff. You know that. That was, by the way, so that was basically the first Masters I ever really watched. And I didn't watch all of it, but I started watching on the weekend. And then I did watch all of Rory and Bryson, like in and out, but basically watch their 18 holes on Sunday. And like, I had to check with people. I'm like, you know, I'm so naive. And they're like, no. This was one of the more special ones ever.
That was an amazing Sunday for the Masters. And
yeah,
you know, the thing is, I hate DeChambeau. He's just a douche. He's a big, dumb jock who There's a lot of things. I won't even get into how many things I dislike about him. And Rory, if you're Irish, you've got a soft spot in your heart for Rory. He's making a comeback. He had like a 5 or 7 year period where he just didn't win shit. Happened to correspond with as soon as he got married.
I hate to say.
But now he's back. He's left the marriage behind. Or he didn't. He actually, the rumors are he had an affair with Amanda, what's her name, who's the woman who interviews you at the end of the round. You know that woman?
Is that a rumor or did that happen?
I believe it happened. And there was a little separation in the marriage shortly after the rumors. And then they worked it out. But what's crazy is she still interviews him after the tournament every time. It's fucking crazy. I know. So I was very happy to see him win. It was good to see an Irish person cry. It's so rare, and we got it on film to prove it.
There was a meme where something came across my feed on Instagram where I think it was real. A woman called into like a sports show and goes, "Let me tell you something. My husband, he did not cry at our wedding. He did not cry at the birth of our first child, second child. He does not cry at events. I've never seen him cry. On Sunday, he cried like a baby watching this golf tournament."
Yeah. It was powerful. It was really great. Good on you, Rory. Let's go to...
That was a feel-good win. I agree. For most people, I think a feel-good win.
All right. Should we cut right down to this day in history?
I think we're going to this day in history.
All right, then.
This is someday, let me tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only is it Hitler's birthday, right?
Oh, everybody... that's right. I forgot about that.
Let's see this one. Other notable events include the New York State Constitution, adopted in 1777, the Ku Klux Klan Act, I think. I think it passed in 1871, maybe. The Ludlow Massacre in 1914.
Don't you usually ask me questions?
You're not going to get any of those. I'll ask you this one because this was another one. Very kind of a way out ahead of the curve. Columbine, the shooting at Columbine High School.
Oh God!
I wonder if they were recognizing Hitler's birthday. The guys in the trench coats who did that. So yeah. That was on. Did they?
I don't know, but wasn't it also the Oklahoma City bombing? It was also 420?
I doubt it could be that.
I can't remember.
But anyway. So Columbine High School, the infamous Columbine High School shooting happened on this day in what year, give or take 5 years?
I know I can get that because I remember I was doing a college gig. The shooting happened that day and I'm sitting in the hotel room in Iowa and I'm waiting for the show to start 3 hours later and I'm watching the fucking shooting. And then I went down to the show that night and I said, "Are we still doing this?" And she's like, "Yeah, I think the students need it." And I was like, "All right, let's do it." And so she goes on stage and she goes, "Welcome to Comedy Night. Before we bring your comedian up tonight, I'd like to have a moment of silence for the mass shooting where 13 kids died." And the whole place started crying and they put their heads down. And then she goes, "And now Greg Fitzsimmons."
Yeah, she needed you to follow that and clean up her mess.
So I remember I was still in New York, so it would have been late 90s. I'm going to say 98.
It was 99.
There we go. Nice.
One of the funniest stories about that, but you know, our friend Brody Stevens, and he used to do audience warm-up. And Zach's show, and Galifianakis had his show on VH1. And all the writers, nothing got done with a half hour to go before the show when like kind of the most has to get done. And so because everyone couldn't take their eyes off of Brody and how bizarre he was at audience warm up, this one day audience warm up, there were a bunch of men in military uniform in the audience. They were up here from, I think, San Diego or something. And anyway, Brody goes, what about you guys? You know, what have you been up to? And they're like, we just got back from the war in Iraq, but we're going back like in a couple of weeks. He was like, Oh my God. Well, let's change to something lighter. And he looked across the aisle and he found this couple. They're like, where are you guys from? And they're like, Columbine. And he turned back to the soldiers and goes, think of the war. It's one of the greatest things ever. And this is Zach's comedy warm-up guy. It's the best. So good.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
All right, another piece of bad news. Remember the Deepwater Horizon oil rig in the Gulf that just erupted into a massive explosion and fire? That happened on this day in what year, give or take 3 years?
I remember talking to my cousin about it because he kept telling me that it wasn't going to amount to anything. And it was at my mother's 70th birthday. She's now 83. So it was 13 years ago. So it would have been in 2012.
You got it. 2010.
Nice.
I gave you 3 years, I think.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Navin Field, later called Tiger Stadium in Detroit, and Fenway Park officially opened as both hosted their first professional baseball games. Tiger Stadium closed in 1999, leaving Fenway as the oldest baseball stadium in Major League Baseball. Both of those stadiums opened on this day, or had their first home game, on what year, give or take 5 years.
Oh, look how tight you're getting on me. Now that I nailed the first two, you're only giving me five.
Because I think you know, like, when the Red Sox won their last. I think you're going to be in the neighborhood. That's why.
Well, I was just there for opening day, and I would say we already established that they have not won. They hadn't won in 86 years. So 86, and they won in 2004. So 2004 minus 86 is 1920. So I'll say the stadium went up in 1910.
1912.
Nice.
I told you you'd get it.
Well, a little math. My math is sharp today.
All right, last one. Prince died on this day from an accidental overdose of fentanyl. Give or take, I mean, I think I have to say 1 year. I'm giving you a 3 year window. Give or take 1 year, when do you think Prince died?
2014.
I love it. 2016.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say 2018. I can't believe it's 9 years ago. Almost a decade without Prince.
I know.
And wasn't David Bowie before that?
No, David Bowie was after that.
Is that a Fitz fact?
No, that's absolutely true.
When do you think, give or take a year, when do you think Bowie's death was?
I think Bowie died in 2017.
Hold on. I love this. Bowie died before Prince. I love it. I love it. This is what I love. This is my favorite part. He also died in 2016. But he died January 10th.
Oh. No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. It was close.
So there you go.
All right.
But so confident. You were so confident with that date. That's what
I really felt like he was after. That seems crazy to me. But I guess so.
That was a 1-2 punch, boy. That was crazy.
Yep. I know. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk. Speaking of people dying, I think it's time for the obituaries.
Yeah, this isn't. I don't want to disrespect the guy, but it's not a. It's we just talked about poor Prince and Bowie, but TV and radio host Wink Martindale died.
Oh boy.
He was 91 years old. He helmed the game shows like Gambit and Tic Tac Toe. And then he was married to Sandra Farah for like ever. And she previously dated Elvis Presley. And Martindale was also friends with the rock icon. Martindale also from Tennessee. And Farah, his wife, goes, I just implicitly trusted and fell in love with any man from Tennessee. He even had Presley on one of his shows, Teenage Dance Party, in 1956. Aside from hosting prowess, Martindale scored a pop hit, I did not know this, in 1959 with his rendition of the recitation song The Deck of Cards. The song peaked at number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100. But he was one of those hosts that was an old guy when we were growing up, and maybe we also saw reruns, but we saw some lives or, you know, current stuff of Wink Martindale, and I also love the name.
Great name. It's about all I know about the guy. I think he was one of those guys that had the microphone that was like pencil thin with the big top.
Maybe like Gene from...
Gene Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn, yeah.
Yep, from Match Game.
Let's cheer up.
Let's cheer up with some funnies. Here we go. All right, so last week, as every week, we do this caption contest where you guys write in a punchline for a one-frame comic strip that we give you. We then look at them the next week, and we award a Sunday Papers koozie to what we deem to be. Now, it's not categorically the funniest. We are obviously have our own experience of what we think is funny. We get so many great ones. They don't
it's
all make it in. Many
right.
of them don't make it in. But the ones that do, we judge. Last week's was kind of a chubby dude leaning on a golf bag with a beer and a cigarette in his mouth while he watches his friend hit a shot. And they're on a golf course. So this one comes from... Sean, Jesus Christ, Greg, that's your fourth mulligan. Or okay. Jesus Christ, Gibbons, that's your 15th beer. Pick
one. You
mean
one. Gubbins?
Jesus Christ, Gubbins, that's your 15th beer. P.S. I'm from Canada, no koozie, just playing along. Well, guess what, Sean? No koozie for you. And it's not because you're from Canada. Jason
Cobb. The Canadian koozie, I got to deal with that.
Jason Cobb says, I miss strippers and cocaine.
Okay.
Ryan Timberlake says, armed with a picture of his new jet ski, Jerry takes off to find the cute beer cart girl who definitely wanted some.
You know what he's referring to? I didn't even see it. The cart in the upper left there.
Oh, yeah. There's a cart flying by in the background. All right. Little wordy, but I like the idea. Dan says, this is taking forever. I wish I was one of the other caddies who are running a train on his wife right now.
Whoa.
Damn. Jason LaFon says, pebble beached whale.
Guy's fat.
Kenny Ingalls says, did you hear last week's Sunday Paper podcast? The setup of the next cartoon caption contest left me woefully uninspired and comedically barren.
Oh, that's a long one.
That is long there, Kenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank Kehoe said, the Penmar Invitational was once again extensively delayed this year as Dennis Gubbins attempted to enforce every single insignificant golf rule.
I can already hear Dennis screaming about it. He likes to waive a lot of golf rules and he gets angry about it.
Brian Rochelle says, you know the deal. Make this birdie and I'll postpone your tariffs for a week.
Oh, is that fat Donald Trump with the black
that's
hair
right,
and
I
younger?
Guess, I think that's I the know. Implication here. Pat McGroin, the moment I get the divorce papers, I'm going to quit this stupid fucking game.
Interesting take, Pat.
Brian says, John Daly's diet has done wonders for my golf game.
Yeah, guy's drinking.
And bringing up the rear, Kelly Holmes says, I'm glad I lost custody of the kids.
And the winner is nobody this week.
Not a strong... It was not a good comic. I didn't give you much. It's a very pedestrian scene. There's no hook. There's no angle. It was just up to you to come up with a golf joke, and you somewhat did.
Yeah, I don't think. It also looks like he's hitting away from the hole. I might have done something about that. Like, clearly the flag's straight up behind the fat guy. We don't have to spend time on this. No winners. Sorry, no winners this week.
I don't dislike Pebble Beached Whale.
But he's not laying down.
He's fat.
Huh?
He's fat.
Okay.
I don't think you should penalize them. I think you got to give one of them a guy. What are you, hoarding koozies now?
One could say I am, because I haven't mailed any out in a little bit, probably a month. So which one would it be?
I think it would be Pebble Beached Whale by Jason LaFond.
Done.
Okay. Done. Congratulations, Jason. You are the king this week. Let's get to next week's, which is a little bit more evocative, I hope. We've got a gentleman who looks like he is about to commit suicide. He is on a ledge outside a window. He's a bald guy with glasses, and he's looking down. He looks scared. And reaching out of the window is a cameraman with a news camera and a news interviewer with a microphone, and they're talking to the man who's on the ledge.
Yep.
I think that describes it perfectly. Now let's get to a professional comic. This was Hagger and Lucky sitting on a couple chairs. Hagger goes, "I'm bored." Lucky goes, "Me too. We need some excitement." Second frame, they're walking out the door, and Hagger goes, "Let's go out and make poor choices." Oh. Is sexual molestation a poor choice, or is it just your job description?
I think they're going to go out and respect women, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to go out. We're going to help a woman home. We're going to protect her from a marauder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Lockhorns, Loretta, has got her arm around Leroy, and she goes, "You have to learn to laugh at yourself, Leroy. I can't do everything." getting back to golf, which might give me a little PTSD right now. Leroy and Loretta are walking down the fairway, and she says, "You do know the point of golf is to play less golf."
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah. No, that's why I say, like, I get my money's worth out there. I mean, I am chewing up that course. The amount of swings, I'm taking so many more swings than anyone else.
There should be a surcharge.
What a day.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back to Doonesbury. I went back. I found the list. I forget what number this is. It doesn't matter, as we all know. But there's four frames. And that's Doonesbury. Is that what they call him? The guy with the straight, long nose?
Yeah, I think so. I have no idea.
And there's four kids, diverse little group around him, four kids. And one kid goes, "You mean another rejection came through Miss Caucus?"
Oh, it's a woman.
What?
Yeah, that's not Doonesbury. I think that's a woman.
That's a woman.
I think so.
All right. "You mean another rejection came through, Miss Caucus?" And then, I don't know, isn't that maybe Miss Caucus saying shh?
No, it's another kid says shh.
Do you see the problems already?
Yes.
And then the man, I'm going to call him a man.
Yep. It's a woman.
Yep, a big fat no. We're only in the first frame still. So now we're in the second frame. They let Donald's, so this is the man woman saying this. "They let Donald Segretti into law school. They let John Ehrlichman into law school. They let John Dean in. But will they accept Joan Caucus? Nope. No way." Oh, yeah, you see, Miss Caucus is the one rejected, but they're asking this guy Doonesbury about it. So in the third frame, there's no words, thank God. He just hangs his head. And then in the final frame, bringing it all home, the original kid goes, "Must be rough when all your friends get in like that." And then the kid goes, "Shh," again. And Doonesbury goes, "Hee hee." There you go.
It's not horrible.
That's fun, huh?
They're teasing Ms. First of all, I think that's Ms. Caucus the whole time. I believe that's a woman who looks a little bit manly.
No, you're going to get all the notes. They're talking to Doonesbury. Another rejection came through. Who was the rejection? Miss Caucus.
I think
I bet she was like a nominee for the Supreme Court. I'm going
to
look it up.
No, she's trying to get into law school. Jesus Christ. Why? No wonder you don't think it's funny. You can't follow a simple comic strip.
It's the furthest thing from fucking simple, this piece of shit.
All right, let's get to simple. Dagwood, a simpleton, a ton of simple, is sitting on the chair watching TV. And Blondie, who's dressed up in a maroon top, which I love, a black silk skirt and some white shoes. She goes, "I'm going shopping, dear." And he goes, "Okay, honey." And then as she's walking out, she goes, "You're going to have to make dinner for yourself tonight, if that's okay." What the fuck does that mean? As if he was going to demand dinner and she was going to cancel her plans? If that's okay? That's some weak 1950s housewifery. And he goes, "Not to worry, I can fend for myself." And then we get to his friend Herb, who gets a phone call, and he goes, "It's Dag. He wants to know what's for dinner and if we feel like some company." I mean, look at her breast in that second frame, the profile of that breast. It's almost triangular. It's almost like an Egyptian sculpture. It's so firm and buoyant.
She is gifted.
She's got something, if that's okay. Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you a thing or two about this Caucus character.
Yeah.
He had a book, Dare to Be Great, Miss Caucus. It's called a Doonesbury book. And then Wikipedia has its own entry called Joni Caucus.
Is there a picture?
She's a fictional character in Trudeau's comic strip. She spent several years living with the other characters while running a daycare service for local children.
Yes, she's surrounded by children. It's Ms. Caucus.
While running Walden Daycare, Caucus sends off applications to several real-life law schools. She eventually receives her JD from UC Berkeley.
Oh.
And moves to a lot of detail here. That's not her, though.
Okay, the first line. You mean another rejection came through, comma, Ms. Caucus, question mark, while addressing the person sitting in front of him?
Maybe it is her.
Okay, thank you.
They have the same nose. You know what it is? He only knows how to draw one type of nose, this fucking guy.
All right, we're beating it to death. The truth is, folks, you can be involved in the podcast. Send us your songs. Send us your logos for the show. We love you for doing that.
I do think Miss Caucus was trans.
You can also pick up some fun merchandise for the 5th anniversary. Go to fitzdog.com, scroll down just a bit, and click on the link to get the merch. Support the show. Anything you want to promote, Mike?
Yeah, fucking cocaine, man. I need it. I don't know why I'm so tired. No, what do I want to promote? Yeah, I already did it, man. I already did it. You know, I want to give SNL a shout out. Those three things made me laugh really hard on John Hamm's episode.
Can't wait to watch it. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your trip, and we'll catch you next time.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
It's the end of the week, so it's time again for the Sunday Papers Podcast with our two best friends, Greg and Mike.
Make sure to give you the news
between procrastinating, masturbating,
or some other excuse.
Sunday Papers Podcast.